It is good to be here with you on this Easter Sunday morning, this morning that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Most people will acknowledge that Jesus did exist. Most historians will note that he existed, that he lived. That is not under much debate anymore. Most will agree that he died and that he died on a cross. And some will say that he was resurrected again, which is what we're going to talk about this morning as the foundation of our faith. There are some that say he simply died. He was a good man and he died and he remains buried. But we do not believe that. For without that belief that he is resurrected, then our religion is futile. Our belief system is of nothing. The Apostle Paul had to deal with that when he was writing to the church in Corinth. The Corinthian church, if you read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there was a lot of issues that were going on in the church in Corinth. And it seemed that the further away they moved from the time of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, perhaps doubt began to set in into the minds of believers, and they began to entertain different ideas and different thoughts and different beliefs. And so as they became integrated with other customs and other cultures, there began to be some doubt about the resurrection. As a matter of fact, the Greeks said that there was no resurrection. They did not believe that the resurrection existed. They believed that once the body was dead, it was dead, and it was never to be raised again. So Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, and here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. For what I received, I passed on to you of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of them who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Paul says, I want to pass on to you what I've heard, what I've seen, what I've experienced. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That there is a resurrection. And he says that as the first basis for this is the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. And if you look throughout the Old Testament, you will see a reference to a Savior who is born, who will die, who will be resurrected unto new life. And there's evidence of that in the Old Testament, and there's certainly evidence of that in the New Testament. And so he says, according to the Scriptures, according to what was written over a period of several hundred years, this has happened. And so the first point of evidence that he makes is the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. There has been much said about the resurrection of Christ, and many people have endeavored to study it and to prove it and to show that it did happen, that these events did in fact happen according to the Scriptures and according to the references made in the Gospels and in the Epistles. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to prove to you that it happened, because I believe it did. And probably you believe it did because you're here with us this morning. We don't often go to a funeral and then celebrate that funeral every year knowing that the person is dead and in the ground. But we celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate Easter. Why? Because we believe that Jesus Christ is not dead and in the ground, but that he sits at the right hand of his Father. That is the whole point behind Easter Sunday, that Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to show you that evidence. But what I do want you to understand is that the basis for our faith, the foundation of our faith, is that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, came to this earth, lived among us, died a brutal death to pay the penalty for our sin, was buried, and then 3 days rose again. That is the basis for our faith. There is a song that was written a couple hundred years ago, actually. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I dare not trust anything other than the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, was buried, and resurrected. My hope is built on nothing less. All throughout Scripture, particularly in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, there is reference to Jesus Christ, to God being our rock, our solid rock, our refuge, the cornerstone, the foundation for our faith, the foundation for our life is built on that fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died and was buried and rose again. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So Paul goes on to say and give an explanation for his belief and why this is the foundation of our faith. He says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And so what Paul does is he kind of creates for us a house of cards. And he says, if you pull out the one card that says there is no resurrection, that Jesus Christ did not come back to life, he was not resurrected from the dead. If you pull that one card out, then our whole house of faith collapses. Everything is built up on that. But yet there were some who believed that Jesus existed, that he lived, that he was a good man, that he died. But they said, that's it. That's it. That's all there is. There is no resurrection. Well, then what would be the point? Why would Jesus even bother to come? If this was all there is, if your existence on this earth was all there is, then why would he bother to come? If there is no resurrection, if there is no promise of eternal life, then why would he bother to come? And so Paul says that there are several things that collapse if we pull out that cornerstone of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First thing I want you to understand is that belief in the resurrection is essential for salvation. It is essential for salvation. Oftentimes, we leave that out when we share our faith with people. We say that what? Everyone is a sinner. And that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. And so what we need to do is we need to believe that. We need to repent, ask God to come into our life, to follow Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And we kind of leave off the resurrection part. But if we leave off the resurrection part and just say that he came and he died and he died for us, then there's no point. There is no promise. There is no hope. But if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our Lord is living. He is alive. He is not dead. He is not in the grave, but he is alive. What point would there be to follow someone and to call him Lord if he is no longer alive? So you must declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then you will be saved. So without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sin. Without the resurrection, faith is futile. Without the resurrection, there is no eternal life. So without the resurrection, there is no point. But because he is resurrected, we are here this morning. A lot of good men have died throughout history. They've lived a good life. They've made contributions to society. We remember their birth, but very few of us remember their death. I mean, we know George Washington's birthday. How many of you know when he died? Nobody. We know when Christ was born, or we celebrate it. But the only reason we celebrate his birth still to this day is why? Because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. If he was simply a good man and he just died, it's very likely that we would not remember him, that we would not celebrate him, that there would be no Christmas. And in fact, there is no Christmas without the death, burial, and resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Life is hopeless. Without the resurrection, there is no forgiveness of sins. We are lost in our sin. Even if Jesus Christ died and paid the penalty for our sin, but did not rise again, we would still be burdened with our sin. We would not be able to escape the punishment of our sin. But because he was perfect and he died for our sin and was raised again, we have the promise of eternal life with him. Without the resurrection, there is no point in having a faith. There is no faith. And without the resurrection, there is no eternal life. Paul makes this statement. He said, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." In other words, if this is all there is, if believing in Christ just comes to an end when we die, then we are to be pitied. Why would we live like this? Why would we follow Christ? Why would we follow a dead man? We are to be pitied. But we aren't to be pitied. Why? Because we know that he is raised again, that he is alive with his Father. So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So what is the sinking sand? Well, let me share with you some things that are sinking sand. Some things that we emphasize in our spiritual walk, in our faith. Some things that we practice and that we demonstrate and we give credence to, that if we're not careful, will overshadow the resurrection. We will give more importance to those things than we will the resurrection of Christ. So let me give you some things that are sinking sand. Letter A, do not trust in your emotions. Do not trust in your emotions. Following Christ can be a very emotional experience. Going to church can be a very emotional experience. Some people will even determine whether the church service was good or not by how excited you got, by how uplifted you feel, by how encouraged you are when you leave. And so we place value on our relationship by how it makes us feel. That is a very dangerous thing. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Our emotions are connected to our faith and, or to our heart and our feelings, and we can't trust our feelings. We can't trust our emotions. How many of you, I don't want to see you raise your hands, but how many of you have ever been in love? Head over heels. That was the person for you. And how many of you are here today not married to that person? Because it didn't work out. Because your what? Your feelings changed. Your emotions changed. The infatuation changed. So you can't trust your emotions. You can't trust your feelings. Why? Because they change. Secondly, do not trust in your experience. Do not trust in your experience. Jesus spoke to this in John chapter 4, verse 48. He said, "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." So some people have had wonderful experiences in their Christian faith. Maybe you've experienced a miracle. Maybe you've experienced restoration in a relationship. Maybe you prayed for something and God answered that prayer. Those are all wonderful things. But they are not the basis for your faith. Because if they're the basis for your faith, then what happens if you pray for a miracle and the miracle doesn't come? What happens if you pray for a restoration in relationship and the restoration never happens? So if your faith is based on that experience and that experience doesn't come to fruition the way you understand or the way you desire it, then there is no faith. Your faith is disappointed. And so you cannot place your faith or build your faith on your experience. Letter C, you cannot trust in your circumstances. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus, as he was preparing to go to the cross, he said to his disciples, he told them, he said, "You know what? You're all going to be scattered on account of me." And he said, "But I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You're going to have trouble. Even if you give your life to Christ, even if you follow him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. And see, what happens is we, in our desire to share Christ with people, we often emphasize things as evidence of faith that are really sinking sand. So you could share, this is what God did for me. And I've heard some of these testimonies. I was a drug addict. And I prayed to God. And He took the desire to use drugs away. Now, do I believe that happened? Absolutely. But is that a reason to put your faith in God? No. Why? Because you could then, if you were struggling with that same experience, if you were struggling with drugs, you say, oh, so then if I put my faith in Christ, He's going to take my addiction away. And it doesn't happen. And you continue to struggle with that. If your faith is built on that, then your faith sinks. Oftentimes, when you watch television preachers, particularly the ones who I would call charlatans, they will say something to the effect that if you send in money, God wants to bless you. If you sow a seed of faith and you contribute money, God wants to bless you. And there's always this implication that He's going to return to you more money than you gave. And so people in financial difficulty will say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust God and I'm going to send in some money. And you know, it's not the rich who send in the money, it's the poor who send in the money. And God's going to bless me and He's going to meet my needs and He's going to provide for me and in miraculous ways. And then when they do it and it doesn't happen, who's at fault? Who's at blame? God. Why? Because my faith was built on something that it should not have been built on. We go through difficult times. And we hear people give a testimony that I was going through this, my marriage was a wreck. My home life was a wreck. I lost a job. I found Christ. And now everything is fixed. Everything is wonderful. And so people hear that and they say, I can relate to that. I can relate to a broken marriage. I can relate to difficulties. I can relate to problems. So if I give my life to Christ, then all that's going to be fixed. It's sinking sand. Because He may answer those prayers or He may choose not to answer those prayers. But that's not what we build our faith on. Our faith is built on what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the basis for our faith. That's the foundation for our faith. And people who have given their lives to Christ, perhaps He has done some wonderful things. Perhaps He has done some miracles in your life. Perhaps He has answered some prayers. I'm not taking anything away from any of that. But those things are not the basis for your faith. Because here's the reality. If after Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins, And we say that, just saying that statement doesn't really paint a good picture of how He suffered in His death. I mean, He was brutally beaten and punished and humiliated and mocked and persecuted. He died a very, very cruel death. If He endured that for you, took your sin upon Him, and went to the grave, and then was resurrected. Listen to me, folks. If He did nothing else for you ever again, that would be enough. That would be enough. He doesn't owe us anything. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He doesn't owe us anything. And so if he didn't answer another prayer, if he didn't save your marriage, if he didn't heal your body, if he didn't take care of you, what he did on the cross and in his resurrection is enough. That is the foundation for our faith. Everything he does beyond that is beautiful, is wonderful. It is because of his mercy. It is because of his grace. It is because of his love. But he doesn't owe us a thing. You see, we live in a day and age where feelings play a huge part in how we live. We're not really interested in the truth, especially if the truth makes us feel bad. Then we don't want to talk about the truth. Why? Because we're worried about how everybody feels. We're worried about their emotional well-being. And so we do things now that we never used to do, like everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. We don't keep score. All those kinds of things. Why? Because the truth sometimes hurts. And we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And so what do? We ignore the truth, or we change the truth. Or we go so far as to believing a lie because why? Because it makes us feel better. How many of you, when you go to the doctor, want to hear the truth? You do, but you don't, right? I mean, you hope they'll tell you something that's really good and positive. But we understand that in doing that and not telling us the truth, it leads to our demise. It is not good for us. And so even though it hurts, we want to know the truth. Jesus, when he prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17, just before he went to the cross, he said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth." Sanctify them by the truth. In other words, do a work in them that brings them to a place where they are holy. Do something in them that causes them to become a better person. A number of weeks ago, by the way, if you enjoyed the maple syrup, that was syrup that we made here. It was homemade syrup. But a number of weeks ago in our family time, I gave this talk about how, in order to gather the sap, the tree has to be wounded. And in order for the sap to become syrup, it has to go through the fire. It has to go through the heat. And the same is true with us. Sometimes God uses difficult experiences. Sometimes he uses our wounds in order to bring something good out of it. And in fact, Jesus had to do that. He had to be wounded. And he had to go to the cross so that something good could come out of it. There are redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. It didn't come easy. It was painful. Sometimes the truth hurts. And the truth is simply this, that without Jesus Christ, without his resurrection, there is no hope. There is no faith. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no eternal life. And the simple truth is this, that if you do not accept that and you do not believe that, then you are lost. Very simply, you are lost. You will not go to heaven. I know it's popular today to say everybody goes to heaven. Everybody becomes an angel. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is, unless you believe that Jesus is Lord, declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, unless that happens, you will not be saved. You will spend an eternity apart from God. It's the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so if God has done something wonderful for you, by all means, share that. But don't share that as the basis for your faith, because it is deceptive. The basis for your faith is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I say again, if he had done nothing more, that would have been enough. My hope is that you will place your faith in that, his death, his burial, and resurrection. Jesus did promise, though. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so God does bless us. He does provide for us. He does care for us. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He is there. He is a good God. But the basis of our faith is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Build your faith on that. You won't be disappointed. Father, we thank you for that simple truth that your Son, Jesus, came to this earth, that he lived among us, he lived a perfect life, that he died to pay the penalty for our sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And because of that resurrection, we have the promise of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. May that be enough to sustain our faith. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.